Please turn your Bibles to Psalm 20. Psalm 20 this morning. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you're an ever-present help in times of trouble. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you never let go in every high and every low. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are. God, remind us of who we are. Lord, remind us who we are without you. That's lost. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you for your help in all of life. May we be, as your people, faithful, Lord, in looking to you in all things. And may it be for the praise of your glory. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray and praise you in. Amen. Help in times of trouble. Help in times of trouble. You see, in times of trouble, there is a quiet place. In times of trouble, there is help. There is a heaven of rest in times of trouble. There is peace. There is hope in times of trouble. There is an ever-present God that we have, and we belong to Him. Nothing occurs in your life and in my life unless He approves of it. He's ever present. And He works good in all things on our behalf. Even in times of trouble, Almighty God is to work good in it for you and I. Sometimes we may not understand, like Job. It may be for us to grow in faith, to mature in the faith, to draw closer to Him. Or it may be that you are to be a witness in what you're going through so that someone who is dying and going to hell can see Jesus in you when you're going through troubled times, and that person will place their faith in Jesus Christ and go through the narrow gate, which is Jesus Christ, and have a relationship with Him forever and ever because you're a witness for Jesus when you're going through times of trouble. Sometimes we may not understand why, but we are to remain faithful, faithful in times of trouble. And we have help. We have peace that passes all understanding, and it is help from Almighty God. This Psalm 20, we see that it is a prayer. This Psalm 20, it's a prayer for help. It's an intercessory prayer, and also it's a prayer for the individual praying it. And he is praying for help. At the end he says, Lord, save! Lord, save! What a prayer, what an intercessory prayer for Almighty God to save somebody. I don't believe you're a friend if you have a lost friend who does not know Jesus personally and you're not praying for that friend to come to Christ. You're not a friend unless you're concerned about the spiritual welfare and where your friend is going, whether to heaven or hell. Because there are two places after death. And only those who have faith relationship in Jesus Christ. Amen, church? Only those who go through the narrow gate, which is Jesus Christ. Because many will go through the broad gate that leads to destruction. Save, Lord, save! A prayer for help. Psalm 20, please turn there with me. a prayer for help. He says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May He remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May He grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. A prayer for help for somebody. An intercessory prayer. And then he turns to the plural in verse 5 and says, we will remember the Lord. We will stand and lift up His banners. That's coming alongside of someone to help. The book of James says that, yeah, you may pray for somebody, but unless you put feet and hands to that prayer, it does no good. So when we pray for help for somebody, that's coming alongside. And not only that, but sometimes they may need you to come alongside as a Christian friend or brother and sister for help. Prayer for time of help. You know, you may be the help they need. You may be the help that God uses to help someone. It may be you. This time, this prayer of help, and he's crying out to God for help. God uses many avenues to help you and I. And God, you see, the person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus called Him the Comforter or the Helper. That's the one you really need in times of trouble, amen? The Holy Spirit of God, the very presence of God in our hearts and lives, and we just... many times as born-again believers, we need to pray, oh God, may I see Your presence. May I recognize Your presence in my life right now. Oh, how I need You. Oh, how I need to feel Your presence right now in this time of trouble. And maybe when we pray for someone else, maybe we need to pray, oh God, may they know Your presence right now in their life. In this time of trouble. The prayer of help for someone. Also in verse 6 in this great psalm, we see the assurance and security of help. He says, now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. Now this is assurance and security. He says, I know. Don't you know? I know that He will save. You see, a mature Christian can say, I know. If you're so insecure and so unassured that you're even saved, how can you mature in the faith? If you're so insecure and so unassured that you cannot say, I know God will save. You need to get in the Word more. You need to work on that prayer life because He is ever present with the born again. He indwells us as His temple. And there is security and assurance that you know as a mature Christian or someone growing in the faith, you know because He's already saved you before. He's already saved you. He has saved you eternally as a child of God. And then ever since then, He has been present with you in times of trouble. So therefore, you can say, I know. I know He will save. I know God is with me. I know come hell or high water, God is with me and will save me. I know. That's assurance, and that is security of help. It's by faith and by experience. I've known this from childhood, that God saves and that God helps. I have seen from childhood how time after time the church will pray for somebody and God delivers time and time again because the church prayed. I've seen it from childhood until now. But many times in the church, we say, oh, there was 88 teenagers here, not counting our own, over 100. Oh, well, God did it again. Let's go on about it. Oh, I'm negative, though, today. And we forget all that God has done in the past, and we don't believe, seems like, because we don't live the way that God will say today. You see, either you're going to be a witness or you're not in times of trouble. Don't you know God saves? Don't you know He will save? And there is security and assurance because of times past that He will. He will save. It is security for help. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because God delivers. He delivers. And He says, again in this verse 6, He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. All through Scripture. In the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, always at the right hand of power, always at the right hand of the throne of God, at the right hand of God, which is a metaphor, a humanistic example of God is a spirit. He don't have a literal right hand. But it says at the right hand of God, all through Scripture, in Revelation, who is that? Come on now, church, New Testament, blood-bought church. At the right hand of God is Jesus, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. At the right hand, He saves with His right hand of power. If only thing you believe is the Old Testament, then believe in Jesus. He is the right hand of power that God saves people with. It's Jesus. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the express image of the Godhead. It is Jesus that saves. God saves through Jesus Christ and only through Him. He will save. How do I know? Because I've seen Him save a lot of people. And I know He'll save you today. He has saved me. I know He has saved me. By the right hand, which means all authority and power, He has saved. And if God has saved me with all the power of all the universe and all the power that is, which belongs to God, and He has saved me with that, then there is no way that that can be lost. That's assurance, and that is security. Now, if you don't know for sure you're saved today, you can make sure. Fall on the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Fall on His grace. You can know. He says, I know that the Lord saves His anointed. I know He saves. Also, we see the assurance and security is in who you ask for help. Verses 7 and 8. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. You see, your assurance And your security is not in just what a preacher says. Your security and assurance is not just in what religion may say, or some ritual may say, or in what I say before I dunk you in the baptistry. Your assurance and your security is in Almighty God. It's in Jesus Christ. You see, if your assurance and your security is even in yourself by pulling your bootstraps up or however way that ungodly saying says, if your security and assurance is in yourself, you're lost today. Because the whole world does that. That's the broad way. It must be in Christ. It's in Christ. He saves. He helps. He helps. And there's assurance and security in that one. The Lord God, he says in this psalm. You see, who do you ask for help? What is your assurance and security in today? Is it in a man? Guess what? That man may be dead tomorrow. Have you ever counted on somebody, someone that said, you know, I'll be with you. I'm going to help you. If you need anything, just let me know. And then when the rubber hits the road, you look around and they're not there. Has that ever happened to you? What's your assurance and security in? What is it in this morning? You see, some trust in chariots and some in horses in verse 7. And when you're experiencing trouble, you want something better than a horse. You want something better than a chariot. This is warfare terminology, though. And you're in a spiritual struggle, are you not? Are we not in a spiritual battle? Don't we have an enemy that hates us, the devil? Aren't there people who has the spirit of Antichrist? And even the news media today, you know, they'll make fun of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, but they will defend an ungodly religion. That spirit of Antichrist in anything that teaches righteousness of God apart from Jesus Christ is Antichrist, because that's the only way to be righteous before a holy God is to be in Jesus Christ. Amen, church? Anything other than that is Antichrist, because Christ, the blood on the cross, is for our righteousness. And any teaching apart from that is from hell. Don't you want some help? Do you need help today? Yes, you do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But see, this warfare terminology, when it was introduced into battle, it was an awesome thing. Who's watched the movie War Horse? Isn't that a good movie? And these war horses, I mean, they could plow through the foot soldiers, and many times if an army had a cavalry and the other one didn't, they would win because of the mighty war horses that could just plow through people. And then the chariots. The chariots would just mow over people in battle. And these were two mighty things when this was written in the Old Testament. War horses and chariots. They were just mighty things when you were in battle. And the psalmist said, some trust in that. Let's see what God says about trusting in things. Turn with me to Isaiah 31, beginning in verse 1. This is what God says about trusting in the material, we should say. Okay? Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help. Egypt always represents the world in Scripture. If you don't believe me, you study it. It represents worldliness. It represents things other than God. He says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel. Yet He also is wise and will bring disaster and will not call back His words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of those who work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out His hand, both he who helps will fall and he who is helped will fall down. They all will perish together. See, horses die. Chariots get broken up. Example. Slaves were leaving Egypt. God delivered them from worldliness, from the slavery of worldliness, from Pharaoh representing the devil. God delivered. They were slaves walking through the wilderness, and God sent them by the way of the Red Sea. Pharaoh decided, I'm not going to let this happen. So he pursues them with chariots, with his army. And the children of Israel was trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's mighty army. Moses, God told Moses to lift up his rod, the rod of God. And Moses said, stand still. You see, many times, you and I, in times of trouble, all we got to do is just stand in Christ, that's all. Just keep standing for Christ. Yeah, the whole world is anti-Christ, but you stand for Christ. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of our God. You know the story. You know the story. How they crossed on dry ground. But you know what God did? When the Egyptians pursued, He made their horses stumble and their chariots got stuck. And they all drowned, including Pharaoh. I know the cartoons and movies show him still alive, but Scripture says he drowned also. Because God made a great deliverance. God answered their cry for help. Don't trust. Don't place your faith. Do not place your assurance and security in any other thing except Jesus Christ, folks. Not even in yourself. You're just a man or a woman yourself. Trust in Jesus. Cry out to Him for help. For salvation and for all the troubles in life. Life's not easy. It's not. You lean on Christ. Lean on His understanding and not your own. And He will direct your paths. Trust in Him. Security is in a relationship and not in religion. It's in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Security is in His grace and not what you and I can do. Assurance is not who you are. You may be something in the community and in this world, but your assurance should not be in that. Your assurance should be on who you are in Christ Jesus. Let the rich say, I am poor. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the weak say, I am strong. Because we all come to salvation only one way. And that's through Jesus, no matter who you are. So that's assurance, that's security, and that is help in times of trouble. Verse 9, it says, Save, Lord, may the King answer us when we call. You know, this great psalm, including this last verse, has the covenant name for God, Lord. And in the New Testament, why were the early Christians killed? At the very beginning, they would not bow down to a man and call him master. They would not bow down to Caesar and say Lord, which means master. They would not do it. And they died for it. The covenant name for God. A relationship with God. To call him Lord. I'm in covenant with Him. You see, there's a blood covenant. And it's between God the Father and God the Son, and it took place in the tabernacle of heaven for us. All you and I do is place our faith in that and fall on that grace of what God has already done. And then we live for Him. We live for Him. We stand for Him. That's security, and that's assurance. That's help in times of trouble. That's help. You see, may the King answer us when we call. The New Testament, the last book, calls Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will answer you, I promise you. You know why I can say that? Because He said it. He said, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believes in your heart that God has raised Christ from the dead, and you call Him Lord, which means the master of your life, which means you belong to Him and nothing else. If you'll do that, He will save you. He'll give you salvation. Also, you got someone that's going to be with you from then on. Amen? And that's help. That's the help that you and I can stand strong in and have security and blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. It's blessed. We're blessed to know Christ. Amen? I'll be here to help anybody. Anybody during the invitation. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank You that we can trust in You. Lord, even when we're sick, yes, we need to get the best doctors, the best medicine, but You're the great physician. Our hope and trust is in You. And Lord, even at death, we're still alive everlasting because of our relationship with You. What a great God You are. What a loving God You are. Oh God. Oh God. Those who have trusted in the things of this world or even in themselves. Oh God, it's our heart's cry as the church right now. Save, Lord. Oh God, save them. Please save them. Please save, oh God.